We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So, Janie, first of all, welcome back. It's great to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
Now that the park thing is starting to wrap up, that you're not going to be a stranger. You know, you can still come by and see us whenever you want. It's always a pleasure to have you here. This has been a long time coming. I mean, tomorrow's the big day, right?
Tomorrow's the big day. They have erected the shelter, which is beautiful. It kind of looks like a winged creature, and it also has a waterfall when it rains.
So a lot of waterfall, right?
A waterfall most of the time. A waterfall when it rains, yeah. All the foliage is coming in, and the trees are still young, so when they start getting more mature, they'll look really cool. They're also blooming purple leaves, so that's really awesome. I think the park is really evolving to something great. Tomorrow is the grand opening, but it's really the grand opening of phase one because Sony has given us the last piece of money for the Shadow Wave Wall, so that the architects are starting to work on getting that done with the fabricators and whatnot. So something to look forward to anyways.
Take us back. How many years was it? I mean, when did this concept of doing a park come around? What year was that? Was it 2006?
Well, honestly, it was about 10 years ago. I was asked to be on the board by Carver Gayton of the Northwest African American Museum. And there was this piece of land that was designated for a park, but wasn't really, it was kind of like a pea patch park. And so Carver said, hey, wouldn't it be cool to have a Hendrix Park here? And the Gayton family and our family have gone back for over 100 years. His mother and my grandmother were very good friends in Vancouver. So we approached Governor Gregoire, and she said, great idea. So she designated...
Go get it funded.
Yeah, go get it funded. And so we kind of put the funding on hold for a few years because I was on the board of the Northwest African American Museum, and the agreement was to raise money for the museum, and we got that up and running in a few years. And then the funding started being raised for the park. And so that was a long journey. A lot to learn.
Sure.
A lot to learn about the city and Parks Department and going to a lot of meetings. And
it's not like Parks and Rec on television.
No. No, it's a lot of red tape. But it was totally worth it because this beautiful park that is now designed in Jimmy's honor and memory, I think that he would be very proud. I know my dad would probably shed a few tears seeing it. And I think that's kind of the bittersweet part, that they aren't here to see it, but I'm sure they're looking down and,
Let's talk some of the challenges you guys ran into putting the park together over the years. The recession hit while you guys were in the planning or the building phase of the park early on. Like, there were some snags along the way, weren't there?
Yeah, the recession hit, which was kind of good and bad in some ways because you're raising money and people were hungry to work. And so some things were bid kind of low. But then as we were raising the money, then the money for the different projects started to go up and it felt like the carrot just kept moving.
Right. All of a sudden, the construction business in Seattle got very busy, didn't it?
Yes, it did. But I think that, you know, coming together with the Friends of Jimi Hendrix Park and the Parks Department and the Department of Neighborhoods and our architects, Morassi, I think that they all did come together and, you know, people like you, KSW, and the Hard Rock Cafe, and, oh gosh, we have Larry Gossett and various people around the city really came together and donated. And we had a lot of people that wanted to donate whatever they could, which I think together you'll see the results tomorrow.
Do you know off the top of your head the percentage of donations that came from individuals who just wanted to give $20, $50, $100?
Well, that probably, yeah, that, I mean, probably roughly that probably came to about maybe 10, 15 grand for people that were giving, you know, like $1,000 here, $3,000, maybe a little bit more. We were very fortunate. You know, I have a great team, so a lot of people think outside the box. And the Hard Rock Cafe was doing these T-shirts, and they were wanting to give to a nonprofit. And so, unfortunately, they couldn't give the whole percentage to the park, because otherwise it would have been done a long time ago. So they gave half of it to the park and half of it to the Fender Music Foundation, which I'm also on that board. And so that was from sales of T-shirts, which raised, for us, raised about $650,000.
A significant amount of money.
Which is a significant amount of money. And, of course, the same for Fender. And so I think that, you know, people really saw the vision, and as a community globally, because I think that really this is a destination place for people to come from all over the world. They all want to go see the memorial at the cemetery, and they want to see the statue on Broadway. And this will be something else that will bring people into the city and recognize Jimmy as the West Coast Seattle boy that he called himself.
Sure. Is this the end of the road for you as far as the park is concerned, or is there more to come?
Well,
and is it sort of, if it is it sort of bittersweet? Are you going to miss this stuff?
Well, I probably have another year, hopefully not quite a year, but we have, like I said, we got funding for the wave wall. That was $300,000 that we received from Sony. And that shadow wave wall, is the center of it is Jimmy's face, and then the sides of the wave wall are cutout silhouettes of Jimmy in metal. And so the architects have already designed it, but it's really about getting fabricators and getting them to get it done. Yeah. A year ago, we were talking about the shelter, so I'm assuming that it's going to take a year. So I'm not quite done. And then also there'll be programs, and people can come to the park. And underneath the shelter is a stage where people can perform, like an amphitheater. And so that'll be nice, and there'll be lots of programs. And I'm still involved with the museum, and so we'll be doing things, collaborating with them as far as like displaying Jimmy's artwork and some of his clothing items and whatnot.
Who's gonna manage talent coming to the park and events? Is that a parks thing? Is it the museum? Is it going to be your seventh job on your business card?
Gosh, I hope not. No, that's really the Parks Department, pretty much their, scheduling. And then I'm sure that the museum will want to do some events there as well, because it's an extension of their museum. It's their front yard.
The event tomorrow, it starts at noon.
Yes.
You have a ton of talent coming out. Do you want to talk about, I know Aaron is a friend of the radio station. He's an amazingly talented guy. But you guys got quite a lineup. The School of Rock is coming out and playing tomorrow. You want to talk a little bit about some of the people that are going to be there?
Well, I know that Aaron's coming, and I'm excited to hear him. He's performed before for us, so I think that's great. Some of the other artists I don't know very well, but I think that it's great to have local talent there. And as far as the School of Rock, when we were doing our tour, our tribute concert tour, and we did come through Seattle, we were at the Paramount, the School of Rock was kind of one of our recipients of guitars. We gave Fender guitars to them throughout the country. So I'm really excited that they're there, because I think that the School of Rock, being that as a former teacher, it's really sad that arts and music have been taken out of schools, because that is so important for people, and especially kids, for them to, be able to check out an instrument and take it home. I remember those days.
Sure. And a snare drum. My parents loved it, by the way. they were big fans of my instrument choice, let me tell you.
Did you have to drag it home every
Absolutely.
Day?
Absolutely. Big plastic case. I was about, 4 foot nothing and 82 pounds dragging that thing down the street, for sure.
Yeah. So I love the fact that the School of Rock exists, and it really gives children a chance to experiment and learn instruments. So I'm really excited that they're there.
Well, I think that we've seen studies over the years that kids that participate in music in schools have better grades, higher self-esteem, like all of these things. That unfortunately, the people who count the money don't prioritize it that way. It is unfortunate. You mentioned the Experience Hendrix tour. You guys had Zach Wilde this year, and Johnny Lang, and Kenny Wayne Shepherd. It's always just a guitar bonanza. How was the tour this year? You guys go like 2 months?
The tour was fantastic. This was the longest tour we've ever done. It was 6 weeks. We started actually in Oregon and ended, I think it was Minneapolis, but technically we're supposed to end in Chicago. But yeah, it was great. It's fun being on the bus with those guys. You never know what's going to come out of Zach's mouth. He's
I love that guy.
He's quite wild. Pun intended. Kenny Wayne Shepherd's always fun to be around, and Dweezil Zappa. I mean, it's a really great group of guys and gals that are on the tour, and everyone loves Jimmy's music. I mean, that's really the nucleus of it. And so they're all very respectful of his music, and it's not a competition. They just love paying homage to Jimmy's music.
Is there anyone who hasn't done the tour yet that you think, God, I wish I could get, you know, fill in the blank to come do the experience?
I have a list. Can you help me?
Huh? Maybe.
We've been trying to get Jeff Beck. We've been trying to get Lenny. Carlos has come out to one show. We just happened to be in the Bay Area, and he was there as well, so he performed. But yeah, I would love to get, you know, some other people.
Does every artist play every date, or do you kind of pick and choose and move people around depending on availability?
Well, the people that are on the tour for the whole tour are, like, you know, Kenny Wayne Shepherd and Johnny Lang, and Dweezil was there most of the time, I believe, and Eric Johnson came on for like a week. He had some other commitments. So, like, if they're there for a week, they're there every day. Beth Hart, she was new at this, so she kind of had in her contract that she'd be 2 days on, 1 day off for her voice. And then she was having so much fun, she just said, skip it, I just want to play, I don't care.
Right, it must be hard to, you know, once you get into it, just to sit on the bus while everybody else is having fun playing, right?
Yeah, Betty Guy, of course, he was on every night. It was kind of sad for him because, you know, a lot of his friends have gone. We lost a lot of blues guys, a couple of them this year. And so I think for him, it meant even more to be able to play and be there. And and he is like the roots of the fruits. You know, Jimmy used to sit in the front row watching Buddy and learned a lot from him. And they were friends. So he loves doing it. Of course, Billy Cox is still around. Yeah. So he calls himself the last gypsy standing. And he loves to perform, and he doesn't. You know, one time it was interesting. We had the Sly Brothers on the show. And so one of the chords from one of the guys, it was across the stage. And Billy didn't know, and he tripped over it and hit his face on one of the amps. And he was bleeding. And we're like, oh, my gosh, you know, you don't have to do the show. And he said, I've been stabbed at, shot at. I served in the Vietnam. I'm going to go on and play. So
and that's rock and roll, though. You play with a bloody face, right?
He didn't get hurt. He was just kind of a minor scrape, but he was fine, and he enjoyed himself.
What else is coming down the pipe for you guys? I know you've always got, like, some magic thing stuck away in a vault somewhere that you guys like to break out from time to time. Is there something you can share with us that's coming up?
Well, there's a couple things I can share. There's a couple things I can't share. But, of course, you know, we're celebrating the 50th year of Monterey, so we're got some new additions to that. Jimmy did some recordings with Stephen Stills, so we're going to come out with a studio album with Jimmy and Stephen, which is really different and cool.
That sounds cool.
And then, of course, you know, that crazy concert that happened in Hawaii, Rainbow Bridge. Mm. We are working on a documentary, and that will come out later on next year. But we went to Hawaii and took Billy and, you know, saw where the performance was, and the girls' school that, you know, they were kind of convinced that this was a good idea to let Warner Brothers.
What's the worst that could possibly happen?
Yes, hippies and drugs and all kinds of crazy things went on.
Right.
So a lot of people that are in Hawaii, they still remembered it, and they were there, and they were part of the whole putting it together. So it's going to be kind of like Atlanta Pop, you know, where the locals are talking about their experience of Rainbow Bridge. And the film footage is pristine. We managed to clean that up, and we managed to pull the vocals out because technology finally caught up with Jimmy. If you remember, the mic was wrapped with umpteen layers of foam to try to.
I remember seeing this, right?
Try to stop the wind, but it's going to be great.
That's cool. And as technology advances, is there more and more stuff that you find that like maybe was unusable before, and you go back and you know maybe we can use that now. Maybe we can clean this up as time goes on.
Absolutely. Cool. You know, and Eddie Kramer's still around. He's our engineer, and he's a master at that. So he's, in fact, he, as a side note, is building a studio in Toronto. So he's been kind of busy with that, but he always makes time for our projects.
So. That's cool. Tomorrow is the big day, the opening of Jimi Hendrix, the grand opening of Jimi Hendrix Park. Starts at noon, goes until 5 p.m. It's at 2400 South Massachusetts here in the Central District in Seattle. Janie will be there. Aaron is playing. There's a bunch of artists playing. As a matter of fact, the page that you're on right now has all of it listed just below, so check it out. And we'll see you tomorrow, Janie. It's always a pleasure, and please don't be a stranger. You know, if we
you'll
need
be
to,
in my
we,
neighborhood now. I'm
we need to come up with
you.
Another another charity project to work on. I'm into it. Oh, by the way, before I let you, is there any other charity involvement that you guys are working with right now that you'd like to plug? Or
well, I am on the board of Northwest African American Museum. So mm-hmm. if people have not gone out to see the museum, it's an amazing spot. We're still, of course, we work with MOPOP. Formerly EMP.
Right.
And we have created or kind of given our blessing to Randy Chavez, who did this beautiful print of Jimmy. It's on metal, and they're selling it at MoPop. It's magnificent. And then the Fender Foundation,
sure.
where it's, you know, we give a lot of instruments to kids and groups and schools and School of Rock. And it's a great way for people to be able to get instruments where they wouldn't any other way.
Awesome. Janie, it's always good to see you. And we'll see you tomorrow at noon o'clock at the Jimi Hendrix Park. It's happening.
It is. Yay.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.